Hello and welcome to the iFeatures podcast. Welcome to another episode in our second series, Stories About Place. As I'm sure you all know by now, we have a brand new round of iFeatures projects embarking on their development journeys, and we'll be hearing from those teams all about their films and how the places they are either set or filmed in contribute to the stories they are telling. In this episode, we will be exploring Birmingham. Right in the heart of the country, the vibrant, youthful, and diverse city is home to such an eclectic catalogue of film and television, and plays host to talent both internationally and domestically. We'll be speaking with another of this year's iFeatures cohort, producer Kerbin Kassam and writer-director Billy Dosanjh, to hear about their project and the importance of place within their film.
I think in general, films about place are exceptionally important because you want to have stories emerging from all the social milieus that we live amongst, and you want them to emerge organically from inside of these places.
We'll also be speaking to Cindy Campbell, head of Film Birmingham, as she takes us on a tour of the city, highlighting locations used for Steven Spielberg's sci-fi adventure film, Ready Player One, as well as discussing how the film office arm of the city council accommodates all kinds of international and domestic productions.
It's known as the City of a Thousand Trades from the Industrial Revolution. And that industrial activity is now happening in the screen industry.
Birmingham is often seen as the heart of England, not only because of its geographical location, indeed 90% of the UK is within 4 hours of Birmingham, but also due to the melting pot of cultures that share this city. Diversity is synonymous with Birmingham, and that in turn provides a wonderful range of perspectives and sources of inspiration from which the screen industries can draw from. One of this year's iFeatures teams is made up of producer Kerbin Kassam and writer-director Billy Dosanjh. Billy's debut feature film, with a working title of Beauty Queens, is currently in development on the programme. Creative England's Abby Brennan caught up with them for a chat and a stroll through some of the streets that provide an integral backdrop to the film.
Kerbin, Billy, thank you so much for inviting us down to Birmingham.
My pleasure.
So, Billy, tell me a little bit about your debut feature film.
Okay, so we're basically walking through Lascelles, where I made my first ever documentary film in 2005 and 2006 about a rumour that led to a riot between different communities within this one community. And so we're dramatising it for the debut fiction film. And setting it on these streets that we're walking down at the moment.
What is your feature film called?
Well, it's currently called Beauty Queens,
yeah.
Which is the name of the black beauty product shop where this rumour began, and where the sort of tensions and the source of the riots was, really. It grew way beyond that shop and turned into something much more swirling and tempestuous and violent. And at the moment, that's the title because that's where the nexus of the rumour started and turned into what it became.
Yeah, and so the film really is exploring how hysteria around a rumour can engulf a community that lives on top of each other, like the various communities in this neighbourhood do, particularly the sort of the communities have been here for quite a long time, so the Pakistani and other South Asian groups, and then the Afro-Caribbean and African groups. Yeah.
What attracted you to Billy's project, Kerbin?
Well, I've known Billy for 10 years. We went to film school together. And when the iFeatures thing came up, he sent me his documentary, which is all based here. And as he said, it's his first one. And I just felt there was something purely cinematic about that era, that hysteria that grew and turned into the documentary that he made around these really violent riots that had very little publicity, actually. Most people have never heard of them. Even though they were way more violent than what happened in 2011, with the Mark Duggan thing. And I just felt there was something just, yeah, cinematic in the whole thing. And then once we got onto the programme, I came to visit the area and I was bowled over by the contradictions in it. I mean, just how close the space is, just how on top of everything it's such a mesh of, you know, different people's economic deprivation, people living their own lives, but in this very closed and close-knit and
parallel way.
Yeah.
Billy, I guess my question to you is, what made you choose this story as your first feature? You know, you've got a very eclectic documentary portfolio. What was it that was like, right, this needs to be my first feature?
Yeah, I've always wanted with my film work to interrogate where I'm from, and I'm really interested in interrogating what it means to be sons and daughters of migrant families in Birmingham and the Black Country. And I felt that sort of the eruption that happened in this community is a strong dramatic way to explore my interest in sort of family dynamics for families whose origin point isn't necessarily Britain. So that's kind of what's led us into the fray, and we are trying to make a film that's heavily weighted towards exploring intergenerational family dynamics, as well as this sort of hysteria around a rumour.
So you were around for the riot at the time?
Yeah, so me and my dad and I were in a pub down the road from where we are now, and lots of police cars went past and we didn't really think anything about it, and then some guy walked in with a trench coat and what seemed like a sawn off shotgun on the inside. He was a stranger.
Oh my god.
He had quite red eyes and looked nervous and stood at the till and eyeballed the landlord, and then he seemed like he got nervous and walked out. Then we locked the doors at the same time. A lot of the patrons of the pub were getting phone calls from their wives and their children, who were panicking because the streets have become lawless in a way that I'd never seen before. And so I was in the area, and at the time I was asking quite profound questions about my own identity, and I felt like going on a journey to explore this this event and why there'd been sort of murder and wanton destruction, you know, would be also a journey into like my identity. So that was very much driving me. And here we are, where like the riot began, you could say. A church called the New Testament Church of God, which is opposite a mosque. And yeah, there was a big event here that would be quite an important set piece in our film.
We should say that as we're walking through the church, there's a funeral just about to start, and you've got, how would you describe them, Billy? You've got a whole community of, are they Jamaican or Afro-Caribbean?
I'd say Afro-Caribbean, I couldn't tell you. I'd imagine Jamaican, actually, and they do seem like a really lively, fun bunch of characters.
They do, they really, really do. They've
gone to town with the decorations as well, for the,
they really have.
For the flowers.
I mean, the area is so rich in culture, and on the opposite side of the road, you've obviously got the mosque. It's definitely a place that's just beaming with this multicultural mix of people that in some way they are a community.
Isn't it
fabulous? It seems like...
Yeah, it really is.
You've got this really wide mix of different cultures and communities, subcultures and subcommunities from all over, like Bangladeshi, Indian, Pakistani, and Afro-Caribbean, Jamaican. They're just all living right next to each other in this really closed... If you could see the space, you'd see... What struck you, Abby, and me when we first came here, just how narrow the whole space is, and how much on top of each other everyone's living, and how much it sort of feels like a film set because it's so cinematic in many ways.
Also, how many octogenarians are simultaneously smoking strong spliffs before midday?
We got a little whiff.
It's kind of unjust.
What do you think it is about this community which provoked the action that happened, and tell us a little bit about the characters that you want to develop it in your feature.
Yeah, all right. So I would say that there's a history of mistrust in this area between communities, mainly because of the deprivation and the fighting over resources. So that's a definite running motif in the area. for people who live here. There's mistrust of the allocation of public funds and things like that. But what I'm really drawn to is using the event as an excuse to enter into the sort of the lives of five very distinct sort of local people, and trying to make a film that really from the vantage point of different characters communicates some of the complexity of this world. Because I think originally we were going to try to sort of have two characters carrying a lot of the dramatic burden of the film, and that's sort of fine for lots of films, but because this film is trying to look under the skin of this city and what makes it sort of complex and difficult place to sort of grow up, we've sort of gone for a sort of more multiple character route, which is sort of I think the right response to the stimulus that we've got.
Yeah, which is so multidimensional. And importantly, all those characters are going to live within the same period over the course of this condensed time period. When the rumour kicks off, when the riots start to escalate, and when eventually it becomes as bloody and violent as it does, and then the aftermath of all that and how they all respond and change to that, and there'll be some more positive stories that come out of that, some more tragic stories, and some stories in between. So it's trying to find the different slices of human experience within this contained explosive world within a short period of time.
So this was back in 2005.
Yeah.
I think it was you, Kevin, when we were driving down, and it took us 25 minutes to travel 500 metres, I think.
Yeah.
You pointed out that there isn't going to be a lot of set dressing needed because of the age of the cars and the buildings, and it really feels like it has stopped in time, this place, in a really cool way for your setting.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, it is like it's a milieu. It's a film about a place. So the place is a strong character. And it's a place that you never or you very rarely see expressed cinematically. So it's exciting for us. Like, we do feel like we're breaking new ground, like as filmmakers, telling Birmingham stories that never get lensed, really. Get overlooked on the national stage. So that's very exciting for us. But yeah, it is quite beautiful, isn't it, in its sort of rundownness. And
it really is. So Kevin, you grew up in the Northwest. Billy, you're from the West Midlands. Would you say growing up in these really rich regional places has definitely had an effect on the way you tell stories and the way you want to tell future stories?
And yeah, it does inform your storytelling, because you decide to become a storyteller because you're from a world that you feel you need to find ways to explore in your adult life, and then being a storyteller is the route to do it. I would say that, yeah, it's really rich, but it's also quite oppressive environments to grow up in, and also because you don't see the stories of the world that you're from, it's quite actually dangerous and risky to just even decide to do that. And it feels now that lots of these stories are getting like a bit of favour and a bit of support on an institutional level. And then the burden is on us to generate the sort of good stories artfully to, you know, continue to get the favour we're getting at the moment.
I totally agree. I think I felt the change in tact from an institutional level in terms of the sort of stories they're prepared to support. And when I started in the film industry, that certainly wasn't there. And the films I was making were much whiter in their trajectory. And only more recently have I started to move towards a more diverse type of story that represents me more closely.
What are you hoping audiences gain after watching your feature when you finally completed it?
Yeah, I think that I think they're going to get a surprise. We're going to hook them in with a very a strong sort of dramatic event that they're not aware of, and then surprise them, I think, with showing them the contradictions and the many faces of what it is to sort of grow up, develop your identity in a place like Northwest Birmingham, when you're from other parts of the world originally. Don't know, like I'd like to think that an audience will be like surprised by the beauty of the culture here, and also feel like, you know, that they've learned something about the lived experience of people who maybe aren't necessarily like them. But the target audience is people from here. And if we can get them to watch it and go, you've done this right, that for us is golden. That's the target.
Do you feel that you maybe have a slight responsibility to make sure that the story is told authentically?
Yeah. Yeah, Billy talks about that a lot.
Massively. I feel like our responsibility to this community is enormous. I think going back to your point earlier about storytelling and growing up in places like this, driving your storytelling, for years, storytellers in places like this end up sort of like, for want of a better phrase, selling these places out, because the bigger machine for story consumption often wants to equate like the lived experience of sort of, you know, lower working class sort of migrants with all sorts of social ills and issues. And it makes it a sort of a cheap target. But we want our film to have like a lot of compassion, a lot of sort of local energy and sort of quirks of character. And we want our film to feel very much like this is a place where, you know, we don't want to judge any life around here and then try to make a film based on those judgments. We want to try to get it as accurate as we can.
And how's it been going as a team so far? As the script and the development moved on from when it was first conceived?
Yeah, I think massively for both of us. I think we've gone from the original pitch document, which was excellent, but sort of thinking more about the needs of the film. Or the world that we're communicating, and trying to sort of position our storytelling more as a response to the stimulus of this world, rather than trying to sort of, like I say, have maybe too few characters carry the burden of telling a very complicated story. I mean, look, it's an eye features, and we've bitten off more than we could chew.
Don't say that. Not recorded.
But we are taking it on, and you know, it's good to be making a film that's maybe a bit beyond your powers, you know, and you're aware of that, because it means you have to raise your game. And
yeah,
this is definitely for Kirbin and I, with our histories, of an exceptionally difficult project to pull off.
It's very brave and bold.
We've taken a very sort of non-linear, slightly wonky approach to getting to where we are now.
Yeah.
But the hope is by spending the emotional effort to understand the right film we want to make, given that we came to the process quite late, I think that's going to pay off dividends. You know, the risk is there from our point of view to get it right and to do it justice. But that means that somehow we have to take a few false turns to find the right path. And I think, talking about surprising the audience, I don't think it's going to be an average kitchen sink film. There's a real heat to the film inherent in what the story's about, and there's an important climax that we'll reach, and I think we'll surprise the audience from that point of view as well. This sort of social realism, but then with this added energy, which sort of feels this culmination of the story.
Why do you both feel that stories about place are so important to new audiences coming through?
That's quite a broad question, but I think a place like this, you know, using cinematic techniques means you can take your lens into very different types of homes in a very short period of time and give an audience a really rich taste of the layers that we're talking about. But I think in general, when films about place are exceptionally important, because you want to have stories emerging from all the social milieus that we live amongst, and you want them to emerge organically from inside of these places and not be from the outside eye coming in to communicate them. I think that's, I really feel that strongly.
Yeah, we're both making films which are based on truth, and so truth begins from locality. The place is a character in itself, so it's integral. It's really integral.
In addition to iFeatures, Creative England also runs the West Midlands Production Fund. This was set up with the support of European Regional Development Funding to encourage and invest in the sustainable production of feature films and TV dramas in the region. For more information about this fund, you can visit the Creative England website. From championing domestic talent to playing host to some of the biggest names in international cinema, Birmingham can facilitate just about any production imaginable. Head of Film Birmingham, Cindy Campbell, was on hand to showcase the city's various locations that play host to these productions.
Cindy, thank you for inviting us down to Birmingham and giving us a walking tour.
No problem, Abby. It's lovely to see you.
Nice to see you too. Even though it's a bit misty today,
yeah.
I'm sure we'll still be able to see the locations through it.
Yeah, so we've got the Library of Birmingham to our right, which is a very busy venue, just because of the architecture, and also we've got the balcony so you can get nice cityscapes.
And that's where you're based, right?
And that's where we're based, yes. That's where our office is.
So tell me what productions have shot here in the last 12 months. What have you been working on?
In the last 12 months, we had Dark Money, BBC Dark Money, which was a four-part series. They used the library. They shot all around the city. Of course, we have BBC Doctors, who are based here in Selly Oak. They shoot in the city centre quite a bit.
I imagine you work quite closely with those guys.
Yeah, any major productions that come here, really, we work closely with. Man Like Mo Beans, they shot their third series.
That's a local lad as well, right?
It is, yeah. Gus Khan, who's amazing.
What is it about Birmingham that you love so much?
I think it's just the diversity of locations, how you can move. I mean, you can shoot at three different locations in the city. You can move a unit three times as long as it's not too much in the city centre. But it's film friendly. It's a great city to film in. People are great. And, you know, the council backs filming in the city.
It must be great having an infrastructure like the mailbox here as well. Obviously, that must have quite an influence on the city and filming. And
yeah, I mean, we've got, you know, the canals. You know, Birmingham's got more canals than Venice. We had Zomboat that shot here last year in 2020 now, aren't we? So it was last year that they shot. Yeah, and we've just got some great buildings, and we've still got quite a bit of old architecture.
What are the people of Birmingham like, and how do they react to filming?
They're great, you know, people are just really proud when they see their city, you know, on the screen. So yeah, no, they're great, they love it.
Obviously, Peaky Blinders has definitely put Birmingham on the map internationally.
It has.
What's it like when you hear people talking about Birmingham and getting excited about hearing Brummies on screen?
Oh, well, they absolutely love it. And I think as far as the accents go, they've got even better. Yeah, it definitely has put Birmingham on the screen. You know, wherever you go in the world, you know, and you say you're from Birmingham, especially if you're talking to people in the industry, they say, oh, you know, Peaky Blinders. So, no, it's a brilliant thing, brilliant thing. And also, we have the Peaky Blinders Festival. We had the first one here last year, and it's just been announced that we're having it again this year.
So, where are you taking us today?
So, I'm going to take you down across Lionel Street, through Newhall Street, into locations where Steven Spielberg shot Ready Player One.
What was that like?
It was mental, in a good way. So very busy, months and months of planning, speaking to residents and businesses. There were a lot of people that were displaced with their parking. But yeah, it was a very busy time. It was Steven Spielberg.
I imagine seeing that on the big screen must have filled you with so much pride, knowing all the hard work of crew and, you know, local people trying to make that happen, and obviously yourself. It must have been a really proud moment for you.
It really was, yeah, it really was. As I say, there was just, you know, the amount of planning that had to take place, and speaking to residents and to businesses, and then seeing it on the screen. And even though it was Columbus, Ohio, of course, you know, you could still recognize it as Birmingham.
Amazing.
Yeah, really good. So down this street here, it's changed a bit. But where that building work's going on, that is where there is some market scenes, so driving scenes with people living on the streets. And this is all just down here. But it has changed a bit now because there's now work going on.
And that was Ready Player One?
That was Ready Player One.
So most major cities now have the buzzword of creative clusters, which see, you know, design and screen businesses all come together in one place to create sort of a collaborative space.
Uh-huh.
So obviously Liverpool have the Baltic, and Manchester have Media City, the Northern Quarter. What's Birmingham's equivalent?
So our equivalent would be the Custard Factory, which there are a lot of production companies that are based down there. It is the creative quarters of Birmingham, and also the Jewellery Quarter. So that would be our alternative. We also have, you know, a couple of organisations now that have come together to strengthen the creative clusters. So there's lots of things that are being planned at the moment. So it was announced a couple of days ago in the newspapers that Stephen Knight is building studios, film and TV studios, as well as residential and retail a retail village in the Digbeth area.
He's a very big advocate, isn't he, for Birmingham, and you know, he grew up here and his roots are still very strong here.
Yes, yeah, so his family's still here, yeah, and he's very passionate about Birmingham and the industry, of course.
So what's local talent like, and is there any difference in how you help international productions that come here to the local talent, like Daniel Alexander, the filmmaker who we interviewed 6 months back for another project, and Billy, you know Billy too,
yes,
who's currently on the iFeatures programme.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's it like seeing local talent onto a more global scale?
Oh, it's a brilliant thing. I mean, Daniel shot the film for our Commonwealth Games. So when we won the Commonwealth Games bid, he did the film for that. He's just going from strength to strength. And it's great to see Billy coming back and doing his Beauty Queens, which is, I remember, you know, it's about the riots, and I remember that time. So, you know, it's great that they're coming back and they're using their city as a backdrop and telling stories from the city.
Amazing. What's one of the proudest productions you've worked on, would you say?
I think it's probably Line of Duty. It was the first in the series.
Sorry, I just distracted you. We're waiting to cross the road right now. We'll wait for the safe green man. Yeah. Now we'll cross. Line of Duty.
Line of Duty, yeah. It was shot here. Just, you know, where it is now, it's still in production. It's gone from strength to strength. Jed Mercurio and Wild Productions are prolific. And, you know, the first series was shot in Birmingham. But there are many, you know. The Girl with All the Gifts was filmed just across the road over there.
So explain to me what they did with the location for that area, because is it just on the right as we come up here?
All along here is Ready Player One.
Ah, okay.
So for instance, St John's Ambulance, they hung an American flag out there, and it was an American school. All these roads down here were dressed.
I can see from the architecture of St John's Ambulance here, like the white stone, and it does look very American, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, yeah. So, yeah, they put an American flag up there. Of course, all these signs, anything English was changed. They dressed all down these streets, and it was closed off. So it was closed for over a week. This area, and as you can see, you know, we're right in the city centre, and we had buses diverted. You know, you've got residents that live down here on the corner of Ludgate Street. Through there, that car park there was where they had their catering.
Okay.
But there were hundreds of extras involved.
I was going to say, for a production that size, their unit base must have been the size of a football pitch.
Yeah, it was huge. I mean, they used this car park, as I said, for their catering. They also used some of this car park, but their main unit base was in Digbeth because it was a huge production.
So what's it like for you to sell Birmingham as a city to location managers when you're going out scouting with them, or, you know, you're having those initial phone calls? What's that process like?
Well, it's you know, we've got our database, but, you know, we are really a city of diverse locations. Our proximity to London and to the major studios. We've got a deep crew base here. It's basically letting them know all those details. And also, you've got the film office. So, you know, we'll basically take their hand. You know, they'll send us a brief and we'll work with them that way. So we'll invite them to the city and show them, you know, what we have to offer.
What's it like getting road closures over the line here? Because it is, for anyone who hasn't driven around Birmingham, it's a little bit of a nightmare with all the one-way systems.
Well, it can be easy. You know, as I said, you know, the council are very supportive. You know, there's a lead-up time. We work with a traffic management company. But, you know, it's doable. So, yeah.
So you've worked for the film office?
So I'm now in my 12th year working for the film office.
That's a very long time.
It is a long time, probably, yes.
How have you seen the industry change over those 12 years?
It's ridiculous. I mean, when I joined Film Birmingham, you know, basically we were a one-person team. We now have four members on our team, not all full-time. I think, you know, just in terms of like things like social media, that we have to make sure that we're, you know, selling the city and letting people know what's happening. Also, just, you know, the number of inquiries and the requests and filming that's happening in the city, yeah, require more staff.
What responsibility do you think the big platforms like Amazon and Netflix have on cities in the UK, pinpointing certain areas and making sure that things get shot there in a similar way that the BBC have to?
Oh, I was going to say, I think not just the big streamers, but I think everyone, you know, I think, you know, there's mostly UKs, not just London. And the offer, looking at the rest of the country, is a much wider offer than there is in just in London. So, no, I think it's really important. And I think it's also important that, you know, people like Creative England and all the film offices also make sure that they're plugging their regions and showing what we have to offer.
One thing I can say about Birmingham at the moment is it's definitely going through a transformation process. There's lots of building going on. And do you think that's going to have a positive effect on filming?
I think it will, definitely. Definitely. We've got all the, you know, the shiny new buildings that, you know, will fit a story. So, yeah.
And obviously the tram network is developing, which gives that more European feel.
It does, it does, We've had quite a bit of filming on the trams as well.
Really?
Yeah, so, yeah, and it works great. So, yeah, we work with them in productions to get productions onto the tram filming.
So what's your hopes for the next 5 years for the city and for Film Birmingham? What are you aspiring to do?
Well, I think there's so much content being made now. You know, there are organisations that we are members of, the international organisations, the AFCI, that gives us an opportunity to connect with, you know, big players in Los Angeles in the industry. So, you know, we've been out there selling our wares to them. So, you know, attracting more international production, bigger productions, but also having, you know, Stephen Knight's studios that he's building in Digbeth, which will also attract production, but also just nurturing what's here. So hearing more from talent based in the city and in the region and getting their projects seen, you know, to the screen.
So West Midlands Productions Fund is still ongoing as well.
It is, yes.
Which I know you help out on with Creative England.
Yeah.
So we're going to be seeing a little bit more local talent, hopefully, helping out on those productions which have been chosen. I guess it's just making sure that local talents are being included on these productions.
Yeah, absolutely. As I say, you know, we've got a large crew base here and they work all over the country. I think having, you know, more productions, more activity that comes to the region, you know, enables them to stay at home and sleep in their beds at night rather than going off and working, you know, elsewhere.
Yeah, just to touch on that, when I came down and we chatted...
I've come down the wrong road.
Oh, not a great tour guide, Cindy, come on. when I came down to visit you in March and you connected me with all those local creatives, you know, the local TV companies, one thing that was apparent is they're so proud to work on big productions in the city that they're from.
Yes.
You know, they don't want to travel hours out of the city, or there's nothing better for them than a massive production right on their doorstep, which they're proud to be part of.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So there's just, I'm going to knock on this door down here and just see if they're in.
Amazing.
From Ready Player One, I don't know if you remember, the main image of the film was the main character in the back of a van. So Steven Spielberg was based here for The Compound, so uses a film location quite a bit.
What goes on here day to day?
It's a really cool space. Someone's house.
Are you joking? Just for people who can't see, it's a converted warehouse. It's huge. I don't think I can even do it justice, to be honest. So he was based here, Steven Spielberg.
So he was based here. So the van was parked here and all the filming in the back of the van was here.
Wow.
So when the production came to town, they asked me to find Steven Spielberg a place to live. And I offered them this. So I got in touch with Stuart, the guy that owns the building, and said, you know, I've got a high-profile director coming to town. You know, would you give up
your home?
Your home. He did say yes, but he didn't end up staying here. But they ended up filming here. So they had the van here. And he was here for about 3 days.
Wow.
Filming.
How many days in total were Ready Player One filming in Birmingham?
Filming in total, I think it was 15, but they were here for 6 months. Yeah, it was a long lead up time.
Yeah. What sort of productions in the future are you hoping to attract?
Well, we've got two features that are definitely coming that we're working with at the moment.
International? You know,
yeah, one of them's international, Los Angeles-based production company. So they're filming in April. We have another one that's actually set in Russia film starts shooting in March. And hopefully, you know, we'll have our returning series, Man Like Mo Bean, and there are other irons in the fire. So a few other productions that we've been wrecking for, who I can't mention.
Of course, of course. Yeah. It sounds like an exciting time, though.
Yeah, no, it is. I think, you know, this year is going to be a busy year. And, you know, with the news of studios as well, you know, as soon as there's a timeline on that, we'll have productions calling us wanting to know what's happening.
Amazing. I guess my last question to you would be, how important do you think it is that Birmingham talent is nurtured to the point where Billy's at, where you can hear those distinct voices on mm-hmm. screen?
Oh, I think it's very important. You know, it's very important for people that live here. It's very important that we're telling stories from the city and from the region, but also important for people all around the world to hear them as well.
That's it from Birmingham and for this episode. Thank you for listening. I've been your host, Andy Johnson. If you'd like to get in touch about anything you've heard on the podcast or to share your thoughts on the series, we can be found on Twitter at iFeaturesUK. And please do leave us a review and rating on your podcast app. It really helps us to become more discoverable, and then more people can learn about film development. Don't forget to subscribe to the series on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and then the next episode will just drop into your feed when it's released. This podcast is brought to you by Creative England, a national body that invests in creative talent and businesses across film, TV, games, and digital media to help turn ideas into reality. iFeatures is led by Creative England and supported by BBC Films, Screen Skills, and made possible through National Lottery funding from the BFI. You can find more information about the programme and this year's 12 selected filmmaking teams on the Creative England website. This series was created and produced by Tonality Media and hosted by me, Andy Johnson.